We welcome to the show Low Tide, host of is it Jameson and Low Tide? Is it Low Tide and Jameson? Did you guys flip a coin? How'd you pick whose name went first?
Actually, Dave suggested Low Tide and Jameson, so I'm never one to.
Well, what's more important, first or last? Like, and by the way, are you guys an accounting firm now, or what are you?
No, we're trying to. Lawyers? We're thinking of maybe having some kind of drink. The Jameson would be obvious. You run with the, but you know, is it like an orange drink, or is it what kind of a drink would Low Tide and Jameson be? You know, the commercial could go Low Tide and Jameson, refreshing anytime, or something like that. You know, I mean, I haven't thought too much about it, but.
Are you gonna incorporate some like analytic data into that message though?
That's what we're gonna do is we're gonna test it, and then we're gonna put it all into this gigantic computer that I've had since the 70s, and that's gonna spew out whether it should be lemon or orange or lime or whatever the case may be.
Like will your break intros and extros be calculated like zone exits and stuff? Like how sharp are they going to be? I'm curious.
Well, we had a bad Corsi today, so,
Okay. Yikes. I don't know if you had a chance to read it, Ali. With Mike Smith, I know he's contemplating retirement. Doesn't mean he will. But last year was pretty difficult on him and injuries and stuff, and he came back, and when he was healthy, he played really well. I know people get, they get focused. To me, they get focused on some white noise. Like, I don't like Mike Smith because he turns the puck over sometimes. Totally fair. Mike Smith in game one against the Flames for 6 minutes was awful. For 245 minutes, he had a .922 save percentage, and they won all four games. So to claim that he didn't play well against Calgary might be the most inane comment I've ever heard. Now, against Colorado, Smith, like the team, wasn't good enough. Right? They weren't good enough. They got beat by a better team. Heck, the forwards didn't have one high-quality scoring chance in game two. So basically you're saying, well, Mike Smith, unless he pitches a shutout, how are they winning the game, right? Like, they just weren't good enough, and they need to improve. I can't, if I'm the orders, I don't think you can go into the season next year with Smith and Skinner. I think you need another goalie because maybe Smith gets hurt, maybe Skinner as a rookie struggles. Like, that would be that would be less than ideal plan. So even if Mike Smith opts, so let's pretend Mike Smith's coming back. What would be your plan of attack that way, and then what's your plan of attack if he decides to retire?
Well, if Smith is coming back, then I think what you try to do is everybody tells me three goalies is not good. Whether you sign Casey DeSmith as the guy who's also going to be in the rotation. Everybody says, I talked to Gager, I know you had him on earlier, but I talked to him about a while ago, and he said it's not ideal, Al. So I would probably, if Skinner's healthy to start the year, I would probably sign somebody who's a 3A, like an AHL guy who will clear waivers but is good enough to plug and play if necessary. And then ideally what you'd do is you'd have Skinner outplay Smith during the year, and obviously that's sort of up to the hockey gods and Skinner himself. But by the end of the year, maybe you're looking at a goalie in Skinner you can trust, and maybe Smith could be the backup, or you make your decision. I think Smith and Skinner probably are good enough if Smith is healthy most of the time to get you to the playoffs. But at the deadline, and I know they're going to be in LTIR, so it's going to have to be money in, money out. I heard Mr. Holland mentioning that to you the other day. But I if Smith is healthy, if you look at his numbers, if he's healthy, I know he's the magnificent man in the flying trapeze. I know there's definite worry everywhere and high anxiety in northern Alberta. But, if you look at his numbers, the guy stopped a lot of pucks when he was healthy this year, and he was a big part of why when Woodcroft took over February 11th through to April 30th, they were in a pretty prime playoff spot. Smith was a part of that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I understand that. So to me, if you say, hey, I want to move on from Mike Smith because of these concerns, I get it. If your argument is always sucks, well, then I can't really listen to that argument. If you're like, hey, I think it's a risk because of his age and thing, that I can agree with. But if it's like, oh, he's not good enough, not sure necessarily I buy that. So then you look at the goaltending options for the Edmonton Oilers, and there's two options. There's free agents or trades, right? Those are the only two ones. Free agents are guys like Kemper and Husso and Campbell and DeSmith and Marc-Andre Fleury. You've got trades possible. Georgiev for sure is going to be dealt. Mackenzie Blackwood, maybe. Semyon Varlamov, maybe, but I think it's unlikely he comes to Edmonton. There is another free agent in Eric Comrie. He's actually pretty good numbers, but doesn't have a ton of experience. But he's kind of in that age range, low tide. And you and I have talked about this for years. Like, lots of goalies, they don't have good numbers. All of a sudden, 25, 26, 27, and they kind of figure it out a little bit. So is Ville Husso your number one? Or if you're going after a free agent, Fleury, who's actually very good against teams that give up off the rush. He's actually very good there. Fleury, Wedgwood, Campbell, Husso, who do you like? Who would be your top target as a UFA?
Well, I would call Fleury, and I don't know what his price point is. I don't know if he's interested in playing in Edmonton, but I think that's a phone call you make. And then after, I like Husso. I mean, I thought he played really well, and at most of the points in the year, I didn't think he would be. I thought, St. Louis would make a move, and maybe they may still. I like him as an option. After that, you're what we talked about before. You're different shades of gray. They all could be good, but you got to pick the right year, and maybe a player who was really good this year will step back a little bit. You don't know that they'd be ideal in your system. Husso would be a guy I like. I know that they were. At some point, there was interest in Braden Holtby, and I wonder if that's a guy that the Oilers would look at. But in all honesty, if you're going for another young guy, like I like Eric Comrie too, but you already kind of you sort of have that in Skinner. He's not as established, but I think you want to find out about Skinner. So I think I would be okay with them signing a guy 31 through 34 who's played 40 games a year and might be on the downside but could sort of mentor Skinner and going in as a tandem. Maybe you play. I think part of the problem with Koskinen is as inconsistent as Smith was because of injury, Koskinen was just inconsistent, partly because he didn't know when he was going to play again, but partly because it was a with respect, I think it was a bit of a stretch to expect him to take over the starter's role, and signing him at $4.5 million was not a good use of cap space.
Yeah. You look at the order, Frank Saravalli, like Tyson Barry, I've been saying this for a while. I think Tyson Barry is going to get traded in the offseason because he has value. And, and the orders, they got to shave some cap space off a little bit, but they also got to, reconstruct their defense a little bit. Like, in an ideal world, they could somehow pry Scott Mayfield out of New York, but I'm not sure they can. But, Tyson Barry has value, and I'm going to be very intrigued to see where he ends up.
Yeah, I heard somewhere somebody said Seattle, and maybe that's true. I think Bouchard duplicates enough of Barry's skills that you can move him now. But I'd like to get. I know Radko Gudas has another year to go, and maybe that's not the exact guy. But I think the Oilers may want to revisit, as well as Cody Ceci has played, and maybe this guy doesn't have to play on the top pair. Maybe it could be Ceci, Bouchard, and whomever. But I'd like to see a little like a rugged. Right-handed defenseman on that third pair next season. I think that might be something to look for.
Yeah, well, I think they definitely need a little bit more of a physical guy on the right side. The wild card would be a guy like Desharnais, for sure. That'd be a big wild card, but I know the coaching staff really likes him. Right, they really like where he's gone. He would have come up to Edmonton to be here, but he got an injury, so he wanted to get that rectified and dealt with. So, we'll see where they go. Like, obviously, you probably don't want to have a rookie there, but he fills a lot of boxes on what they're looking for and what they need. I think in that right side, they got enough guys who move the puck. They needed a little bit more of a physical element, somebody who can break up the cycle now and then, right? Who obviously has the ability to move the puck, and that's something that's lacking in his game. So I don't think he's ready yet, but he is a guy, Al, that I kind of see as maybe a little bit of a surprise player in the coming years on Edmonton. Kind of being a really late developer due to his size, but. Are there any D-men you've looked at that you think fit the mold for that spot?
Desharnais is interesting. I've watched him play, and one thing I think people, I know he's drafted several years ago, but he's really improved in the last couple of years. Yep. Like his positioning, he's got a massive wingspan, and he's actually you know, even before they signed him to an NHL deal, he was playing the big minutes. He was mentoring the young players. So, I mean, I don't know that he's going to make the team, but I think they'll have a long look at him, and a recall next season would be, you know, in the offing. The problem with shutdown guys is that the price point is so vital. You can't spend too much on them, i.e., you know, I think Adam Larson at $4 million is like the outer marker that you'd want to spend, and I think he played some really good years for the Oilers. So the reason I like a guy like Gudas, and I have absolutely no doubt he's not available, but he's a guy who you can sign for under that amount and sort of, you know, count on him to play a certain style of hockey, and it's not going to hurt you. He's not going to score you know, 9 goals or anything. And that allows the Oilers, because Nurse is a very rugged player, but he plays so much that you know, you don't want him in every scrum and you don't want him in any fights. So there's a few guys. I like Calgary's. They've got a couple of nice, truculent defensemen, and we'll see what they end up doing down there. But that's a player. I don't have anybody specific in mind, but I think that sort of addition to this team probably makes them a little harder to play against next year than they were this year. And I thought Barry played well. I especially thought he played well late in the season and into the playoffs. So I believe, as you said, the reason they would move him is money. They need some cap room.
Oh, 100%. Al, what's your expectations for the Elks this year?
I think I said 8-10, and then JMO talked me into 7-11. So I think they're going to be better, and I think that I like who they're starting against. I like their first two games. I think that's going to be a good test. They're on the road, BC, and then they come back here and play the team that shall not be named. But for me, the entire team is new, but I like the coach, and he's very impatient. So in terms of a slow start, I think that's possible to the year, but I bet by midseason and later in the year, they're winning more than they lose.
I'm very intrigued to see what their offense looks like, and I'm very intrigued to. I see they got Trey Ford on the depth chart listed as a receiver.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
I'm curious to see how often we're going to have two quarterbacks on the field a few times early on. The one thing about Chris Jones, Chris Jones historically has, you know, he's kind of left. It's funny, he's so aggressive defensively, but historically he's been rather passive offensively. Right. And it's funny. And so I wonder if all of a sudden this is the one where he's like, okay, like he's the evil scientist on defense. Why doesn't he become that on offense? Right. Maybe he just can't do both, but it would be interesting to see if he did.
It's too bad they've got a couple of injuries on the defensive side, and I think that's going to cramp the look of the defense in the first week or two. But they'll get there. It's going to, there's some ball hawks and some playmakers on defense too. It's going to be a wild ride.
LT, have a good weekend.
You too, my friend. Be good.
There you go. That's Al Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide 3-4.